Have you ever wondered, how can I hear God's voice? How can I make decisions knowing that they're honoring what God wants me to do in my life? And as women who know the blessings and the consequences of following God, we want to make those confident decisions so that we can move forward with ease and joy. We want to know that we're doing God's will. Well, I've found that hearing God's voice isn't a simple formula, but it's this beautiful discovery process that we go through. So I want to talk about five different things that you can include in your life to try to understand God's will, to help you figure out what God would want from you. And we're going to give examples and have all kinds of practical stuff in this episode. So I'm excited. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Vibrant Christian Living Podcast, a place for practical ideas and powerful spiritual inspiration for women like you who want to overcome their obstacles, discover their true potential, and find lasting joy and significance through a relationship with Christ. I'm your host, Alicia Michelle, and I'm so excited to encourage you on how you can live the full, vibrant life that God has planned for you, the life that you were meant to live. So find a cozy spot and let's get started on today's episode.
Hello there, and welcome back to the Vibrant Christian Living Podcast. I am your host, Bible teacher, and life coach for women, Alicia Michelle, and I'm here to help you connect with God, help you renew your thoughts, and show you how you can live a confident, balanced life. Today's topic is knowing how to hear God's voice. Super important, right? As Christians, we want to make sure that we know what God wants for us and what He might want us to do in certain situations. And this is something, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of angst too around this. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in that place, but it feels like we put a lot of stress on making sure that we're making the right decision and knowing what God would want for us. And it makes sense because we know that God's ways are the best and we want to do what He wants us to do. But I want to encourage us, before we even delve into all these steps, that friend, if you are at that place where you're just like, I just need to know what God wants me to do, or I need to know God's will, or you're just desiring to be able to better understand the Bible and to figure out how to apply God's word and to see how to use it in your life, I want to encourage you, first of all, because you're being obedient. You are desiring to follow God and to do what He would want for you. And God wants to honor that. He loves to honor those kind of prayers. So just know that this pursuit of figuring out God's will and learning to hear His voice is a beautiful pursuit, that God is going to be with you in the journey and that He wants to answer and He wants to help you get through. So just be encouraged with that. So we can approach this topic knowing that God is going to help us and He's going to give us His wisdom on how to do it, what that looks like, how to hear that little voice. Sometimes people call it that still small voice in our head. And I can tell you, first of all, that to hear God's voice, some people have heard the audible voice of God. I have not heard the audible voice of God. I have specifically heard what I can only describe as an impression in my spirit, a very strong impression at times. And that impression is something that I've learned to know the difference between when it's my own kind of desiring to do something and when it is really God speaking. Jesus says in John 10, He gives the example of Him being the good shepherd. And He says, "My sheep know my voice." And there is this beautiful thing that a shepherd would do to call in his sheep. He would a lot of times be with other shepherds, and so there would be a lot of intermixing with these sheep. So how would you be able to tell the difference between your sheep and your neighbor's sheep? Well, you would train your sheep to be able to respond to your call. So there would be a whistle or a horn or something that they would use to be able to make a specific noise, and the sheep would come to that call. And so that's kind of a really beautiful and simple view of what the call of God is. It really is just learning the master's call. Jesus says in John 10:10, "My sheep hear my voice and they know my call," right? So we learn to be able to discern between what His call is, what the world's call is, and again, like I mentioned, what our own desires might be, our own sinful nature. And it's a process. It's not something like, you know, if my husband were to call me right now, I would instantly recognize his voice. If my husband was to call you right now, you wouldn't recognize his voice because you don't hear it every day like I do, and vice versa with your husband, right? So we know these voices because they're in our lives, which really leads to this very first point, and then probably the most important point, if you hear nothing else from today's podcast episode, that you would hear this. The first way to really hear God's voice, to understand what he would want for you in your life, is to be in his word, to read the Bible every day, to understand it, not just read it and let it wash over your head and not really think about it, but to read it for application, to read it for understanding, and to read it to take action. That's what I mean by application. And that's important because you are able to see God's perspective. You're having God's perspective on how he handled, say, for example, if you're in the Old Testament and you're reading some of the old books, the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah, which would be in the Jewish Bible, you're hearing how he interacted with the Israelite people. In the New Testament, you're seeing Jesus, how he literally was, these people were face to face with God himself and how he treated them, how he spoke to them, how he loves us, you know, how to support each other. We read about those through some of the letters of Paul. We see that in the first church and how they were working together in the book of Acts. So many examples of just even God, how he wants us to pour out our hearts, like in Psalms is a beautiful example of that. We can see different facets of who God is. We can hear different aspects, so to speak, different tones maybe of his voice throughout his word. And they all somehow, by the amazing power of God, they all come together and create this perfect sound that is Jesus, that is the Holy Spirit, that is Father God, all three of them together. We can hear that voice, and it is the same voice that has been speaking since the beginning of time and spoke through Jesus, but now we get to hear through the Holy Spirit. Jesus encourages us and says that he will not leave us alone. He will send an advocate. He will send the Holy Spirit to be there with us and to encourage us and to lead us in all truth, is what the word says. So the way to lead us into all truth, number one, always, is reading the Bible. And you'll not only have that character of God, the understanding of who God is, layered into your heart, but you'll discern how your thoughts, how your actions, and maybe that of others may or may not line up with what God is teaching you. And you'll be able to say, okay, if I want to obey God, this is what God says. This is the way God works. This is the way I can be more in line with the way he is. And it's this ongoing dialogue, that prayerful laying before him as you're reading, going, wow, is this something, an area in my heart that needs cleaning? If you aren't sure how to do this, we're going to talk about that in a second, but I want to just first of all say, number one, be in God's word. Let his word and the consistency of hearing it and letting it speak to you and as you're applying it and living it out, let that slowly change you. It's this transforming work that only he can do. So if you're not sure where to start or what to read or how to stay accountable or what this even could look like, I will link in the show notes to several episodes that we have done in the past that talk about how to study the Bible using what I've created called the Spiritual Growth Rhythm. And this is a three-step process of connecting with God through Bible time using something I call the 5 R's Bible Study Method. After you have gone through the 5 R's, then you recognize God at work in your life. And then you also release those things that you feel are holding you back right now that are causing stress. So that's a very simplistic one sentence kind of answer to what the spiritual growth rhythm is, but I will link to those things in the show notes so you can check those out further. But I wanted to let you know that if you want to learn how to study the Bible, if you want to learn how to connect with God, we have all kinds of resources on the Vibrant Christian Living website. Number one, we have a free resource called How to Study the Bible, How to Grow Closer to God. And so you can check that out at vibrantchristianliving.com. And then we also have an amazing Bible study that we came out with about a month or two ago called I Am Loved. It's a 4-week Bible study course that shows you how to learn how to do this connection with God through the spiritual growth rhythm. And it's taught by me. There's 4 different videos that go along with it. And it's a whole month worth of Bible study and training and growing in the Lord. And then ultimately, if you desire accountability and to do this kind of in a container, we have the Connected Bible Community. And that's something that I love leading. I love growing with these ladies every month. Every month we have a magazine that has the Spiritual Growth Rhythm in it, these worksheets that you do every day. And then every one day a week, right now it's Fridays, we get together and talk about what we learned that week. We have some additional Bible teaching that I do. And then we also throughout the week have a Facebook group where we're sharing and we're growing together. And it's just that, again, being in a container with other people who are like-minded, who are desiring to know what God wants from them, and who are keeping you accountable, who are encouraging you, who are helping you celebrate every week, it makes such a difference. It makes a huge difference. And in fact, today's topic came up out of a question that someone in our group had asked. And she was asking, how can I hear God's voice? And so I thought, oh my word, as I was explaining it to her and we were talking about it, I thought, this is exactly what I want to share with the rest of you guys. So all of that is to say, the very first thing, again, I hope you're hearing me, is to connect with the Lord every day and to really have His word change you. Learn how to discover God's truths and apply them to your life. All right, the second thing that I really encourage you to do if you want to understand how to hear God's voice is to understand this very critical thing, and that is the difference between condemnation and conviction. Now, all right, both condemnation and conviction are forms of correction, but they come from different motivations. So condemnation's goal isn't to offer a solution, but to kind of pepper you with reminders of your inadequacies. So condemnation uses phrases like, there's no hope for you, you're an idiot or not a very nice person, and why can't you learn? Why haven't you got past this? What's wrong with you? Like, it's always like, you went through this before, you're just ridiculous. Why? You know, it's just this very accusatory, mean girl. Maybe some people are going to describe it as that, or the inner critic voice that is not meant, and this is the key part, that is not meant to help you move forward. There is no hope in condemnation. It is just showing you what you did wrong, rubbing your nose in it. Whereas conviction, on the other hand, says, yes, you made a mistake, so it recognizes that you did do that. However, I believe that you can be different. I believe that you can change. I want to help you get there. And that is the voice of the Spirit. So condemnation will rush you. It will accuse you. It will tell you you're without hope. It will tell you you can never change. And conviction offers gentle, loving correction that shows you a second chance, that shows you healing, and it shows you a better way. So why is this important? Well, it's really important in understanding God's voice because there's constantly a war going on in our thoughts, and we need to choose, are we going to listen to the thoughts of our own sinful nature or some thoughts of the enemy, or are we going to choose to listen to God's thoughts? And it can be tempting sometimes to have these pinches in our spirit, so to speak, where we think, oh, wow, maybe I'm not supposed to do that. And in our modern culture, it's been fed to the world, and it's slowly creeping into the church that all things are, you know, if it feels good, it's right for you. If it, you know, going by your feelings. And we can know that, yes, we make mistakes every day. I mean, you make mistakes, I make mistakes, and we call that sin, okay? We need to be real about that. But what do we do with that sin? Do we let it simmer in our hearts, or do we let it move us towards healing and change? The Holy Spirit reveals sin to us so that we can be different, so that we can find healing and redemption from Him and get back in alignment with God and then live a different life. It's tempting to let the condemnation take over because it makes us filled with guilt and shame. And we feel those things, like we want to feel that. But God wants us to be regretful for our actions, but to move forward. So again, this is important because if we feel God leading us towards something or saying this is bad or you made a mistake, we want to lean into that and to listen to what it is that is who's speaking. Is this really this mistake that I'm being accused of? Is this in line with what God says is wrong? Is this the way God would speak to me? Is this the way that God wants to lead me to correction? Or is this the voice of my inner critic, the voice of the enemy, the voice of the world telling me I'm wrong, I'm stupid, I'm bad, all those things? Which is it? So that you can discern the difference between those two things. I don't have time to go into it here, but there's a beautiful story in the Gospels of the woman who's caught in adultery. I know it's a familiar scene, so I'm going to let you look that up when you get a second. But that scene of this woman who was caught in adultery, she's brought before Jesus by the religious leaders. They just basically throw her at Jesus and go, "This woman was caught in adultery. What do you do with her?" And Jesus bends down on the ground and with his finger starts writing in the dirt. And we don't know what he wrote, which I would love to ask him someday when I get to heaven, like, "What did you write? That's amazing." But whatever he wrote or something about his presence caused all of those religious people, all those religious leaders who had condemned her and said, "This woman did something really horrible," it caused all of them to slowly turn and walk away. And when they had all left, Jesus turns to this woman and says, "Woman, where are the people who've accused you?" And she says, "They're not here." And he says, "Then neither do I hold you for it. Go in peace," right? He gives her the opportunity to know that what she did was wrong. Somehow he must have been able to discern that in her spirit. But he also says, in that kind voice, like we just talked about, this is the conviction versus condemnation, says, "Go in peace. Don't do this again," right? Learning to discern that is critical in learning to be able to hear God's voice. All right, so the third thing is to stay curious. Stay curious about what God may be bringing up in your life through the godly influences you're hearing or you're reading or you're listening to. Kind of sometimes it's fun to play a detective to kind of see, well, if I'm hearing this and I'm reading this and I'm seeing these threads, like right now I can tell you, I really feel like the Lord is speaking to me about generosity. And I've seen that through some sermons I've listened to. I've seen that just even in like these word of the day calendars I'm flipping. I keep seeing things about generosity, or I'll find something on Instagram or somebody I'm listening to another podcast might be talking about generosity. And I'm like, it's just something I'm kind of chewing on in the back of my mind. And I'm hearing the Lord speak to me about being generous. And so you can start to hear the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, by just, like I said, noticing, putting these things together. And at the same time, of course, it's really important for us to realize and to think about what else is feeding our soul. Maybe we do listen to Christian music and we go to church or we watch church, since a lot of us, when I was least at the time that I'm recording this, are still in quarantine. But maybe we have those influences, but what are the other influences that are counteracting what God may be trying to tell us and speak to us? And these can really be hindering or helping us hear God's perspective on our life. And this can be the certain TV programs that we watch, certain things we listen to, maybe certain books. There's all kinds of ways, subtle ways, maybe people around us who are super toxic that are just pulling us away from the truths that we know that God would want us to follow. There's all kinds of things that could be out there that could be pulling us away, and we need to be sensitive to that. In Proverbs, it speaks about to guard our heart, for it's the wellspring of life. And it's so true, especially when we're trying to have that listening to God kind of a mentality, because we have to have a purity of heart. We already have our own issues and stuff, right, that cloud our judgment, cloud our mind, get in the way of us being able to hear God. We don't need all these other influences in there. So something to think about, something to pray about, again, with a spirit of conviction, not a spirit of condemnation, looking at what could be in our lives, what could I be listening to, what could I be reading, what kind of influences could I be surrounding myself with that are contrary to what God's voice would be in my life. And as you are thinking about and hearing God's voice through these different mediums, like we talked before, the good mediums, start to just make space in your day, in your life. Maybe that, you know, sometimes when we say make space, it feels like, oh my gosh, like I have to spend 3 hours a day meditating somewhere. And it's like, that's not what we're saying. We're just saying, maybe take 5 minutes in the morning when you get up, or take a 5 minute tea break or something in the afternoon, and just start to write down, what are the things that I'm hearing from the Lord or learning about, or what are those things, and begin to journal them. I love to journal. I have kept a journal since I first became a Christian back in college, and it has long been a great way for me to just get all that stuff out, stuff that I didn't even know was inside me. And so it's a practice that I've picked up again recently, and I'm I've really enjoyed it. It's really been great for me to deal with some stuff that I've been working through. But I would encourage you to begin to write in your journal those things you're hearing, those good things that you're hearing. And again, the conviction, if you hear the conviction, to write that down as well and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do differently? Okay, so the fourth thing is to notice the potential fear behind the indecision. This is a big one because a lot of times we just get stuck and we get paralyzed because we're so afraid of making the wrong decision in before the Lord and to not do the right thing. And it can be very scary because again, we just want to do what God wants us to do. Yet, I want to ask you a few questions and to help you see what some of this fear might be about. So first, is the fear there? First of all, is there fear to really consider? Am I struggling with fear? Is that what I'm really, why I'm having such a difficult time here? That's the first question. And then if it is your fear that you'll make a mistake? Do you worry that you're just not going to get it right or there's some way it's going to be messed up? Or is it that you will step out of God's will? Is that a fear that you have? Or maybe it's a fear of the unknown and of what could happen. All of those are very real fears, are very human fears. And I believe that God knows that we have those fears and wants to walk with us in them. So if you're having fear, I want to teach you about the two kinds of words for fear that are in the Old Testament. And learning this information truly changed my understanding of the word fear and how I deal with fear now. So I'm super excited about that. So first, let's talk about that. The two words, the main words that are used in Hebrew in the Old Testament for fear are pachad, P-A-C-H-A-D, and yirah, Y-I-R-A-H. Okay? Those are two different meanings. You'll see them sprinkled back and forth for fear. Pachad is that kind of fear that we're probably most familiar with that we could describe instantly. It's the fear of getting on an airplane because the airplane's going to crash. It's the fear that our kids are going to get bit by a rattlesnake when they go hiking in the desert. It's the fear of your husband not coming home at night because there's a winter storm and it's snowing really bad. Whatever. Those kind of fears of what if, almost like the what if kind of fears, that there's danger somehow associated with it. Whereas the other hand, yirah, is the fear from almost an awe kind of perspective. And I don't want to get into this too much, but understanding God, who He is, really, it's an interesting study to look at the fear of the Lord from pachad and yirah, because there's both sides of it. We do have to have a healthy fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the word says. But so often we can focus on that yirah side, which is the awe, this fear, this knowing that there's something greater about to happen and that you can step into it, or almost that feeling of like you're about to see something really big in your life, like nerve-sided, maybe some people have called it. You know it's about to happen and you feel the Lord calling you to it, but you're like, oh my gosh, that's so scary. Like, I can't do that. Like that kind of fear. I think you know what I'm talking about. So that is yirah. So we handle fear in different ways based on pachad or yirah, don't we? In terms of wanting to handle it in a healthy way. So pachad fear, that danger kind of what could really happen, like my husband's going to lose his job, that kind of fear. Those kind of fears, God wants us to release to Him. Those are not the fears. Those are more burdens. We're not to carry our burdens. We are supposed to release our burdens to Him. Cast your cares on me, the word says in Peter. So we are to release those to Him and to know that God walks with us through that pachad fear, to let it go, to recognize that it's there, that it's not bad. We're not bad for feeling it, but just to recognize it's there and to let that go, not focus on it. Ask the Lord to help you let it go, which again, that's a whole nother topic. I'm not going there, but that's what we can do with that kind of fear. Whereas the yirah fear is a fear that we can step into. It's like we pass through yirah. We take that first step towards discovering a new career. We open up that email from the person that is going to lead us into that next step of discovering about a new home that we want to look at. It's taking the first step. It is moving forward with boldness and confidence because we know that the Lord is with us. So when we are noticing these fears, like I said, we can distinguish between the two of them, and then we can really ultimately recognize that there are very few things, or really, I don't believe there is anything that can take us out of the will of God. I mean, unless we are sinning, we make a decision that is in opposition to the Word of God, there really is very few things. Like, for example, if we were to say, should I move to New York or should I move to Chicago for a job? And there's equal jobs. Well, you know, that's not really something that the Lord is going to, he's got a will for you either way. You know, he's the Lord. He knows what the decision's going to be. And there's this whole argument we could have about preparation and does God know what's going to happen and letting us make choice and free choice and all that stuff. We could talk about that for days. And it's just crazy that both of those arguments can exist at the same time. But I just want to say that we may make mistakes in making a figuring out what God's will is and figuring out his voice. But if we know that the decision that we're making is based on what all these kind of things we're talking about today, we can let go of that fear. We know we're in line with what the Bible teaches. We can see confirmation of it in other areas. We can let go of that fear. And that kind of leads me into this fifth thing, which is recognize the decision-making freedom that God gives us. Now, this, again, is one of those things where I wish I had learned this years ago, because this would have freed me up in so many things. Sometimes we get caught up in wanting to know God's will so much that we just want every decision to make sure that God blesses us and God gives us the right thing. Now, hear me. I know that the Lord wants us to come to him for everything. He wants us to release everything to him, that he wants to walk with us through everything. Big, small, doesn't matter. You can share it with the Lord. He loves hearing from us because we're his children, and he wants to walk with us and to hear our emotions and our ups and downs and our bad days and the silly things and the big things. He wants to hear all of it. At the same time, he also gives us the gift of a freedom to be able to make decisions that don't require a yes or no from him in terms of right or wrong. So I'm talking about decisions that aren't necessarily rooted in a moral question, but they're instead just a preference. For example, let's say you're asking, should I buy car A or should I buy car B? So it's not a moral decision, right? God doesn't have in the Bible that it's wrong to pick car A versus car B, right? He doesn't. It's not a moral decision to pick one or the other. It's a decision rooted in your likes and desires. What's more important to you? Car A's sporty features with less fuel efficiency or car B's great gas mileage but less fancy exterior? I mean, we don't need to become anxious over these types of decisions, which I call them red dress or blue dress decisions. Like, they're not moral decisions with an ultimate right or wrong from the Lord. And of course, again, we can ask God for wisdom and advice on which car to buy or what would be a good place to get this car and have him lead us to the right car, things like that. But we don't need to worry that we're stepping outside his will should we choose one or the other. Now, in the middle of that process, you might hear the Lord say, you know what, I feel like this would be a better fit for me. But that is something that is not a right or wrong decision. And we can give ourselves the freedom, because God gives us the freedom to be able to do that. So there's some other great resources and tools that I want to reference in the show notes. One of them is Priscilla Schreier's book, Discerning the Will of God. This was a study I did, oh gosh, it's probably been like 5 years now. This was a great study on hearing God's voice, knowing the will of God. Priscilla is one of my favorite teachers. She's amazing. And I would highly recommend that as a follow-up to this if you want to learn more about what it means to know God's voice and how to listen. She does a great job there. And like I said, I'll link to other episodes on making decisions and releasing fear and worry. But ultimately, God's direction is always going to line up with the Bible's instruction and the Holy Spirit's prompting. We can stay in his word. We can stay sensitive to the Spirit, hearing that little voice, that little whistle like we talked about with the sheep. And little by little, we gain confidence in being able to hear his voice and to make these confident decisions. And so, like I said, the number one thing is to stay connected to God's word, to be grounded, grounded as our spiritual food every single day. I am reading the word of God. I am letting it impact my life. I'm applying it. I'm discerning it. I'm restating it into how what it really means. I'm taking action on it. I'm not just reading a quick little 5-minute thing like a devotional that just is kind of a feel good. I'm hearing God's words directly and asking the Lord to show me how you want me to apply this today in my life. And then we, like I said, we start seeing those little connections showing up in all these different areas. So if you need help with that, I want to help you do that. I want to help you create that rhythm, the daily time with the Lord, because it changes everything about your life to be able to know, to be able to hear from the Lord, to be able to have the tools to study the Bible. We just are not taught this in the corporate church. We just aren't, unfortunately. And it's one of those life skills that being able to hear God's voice is one byproduct of it, but it helps us stay obedient to the Lord. It helps us to just know how to make decisions, of course. It helps us how to parent. It helps us in our marriages. There's so many ways that being in God's word every day can change us. And you're like, okay, I know that. I like tried that. I'm totally like, I've just gotten off it and I'm not staying accountable because I have no way to like check in with anybody because of all the stuff that's been happening this year with COVID and the quarantines. And I get that. And so I want to offer you a few products and resources to help you with that. Number one, the Connected Bible Community is amazing for that. We study the Bible 5 days a week. We have assignments for you guys to work on. And it is using the spiritual growth rhythm, which I talked about earlier. And we meet once a week virtually on Zoom to share what we learned, to go a little bit deeper in those topics. And there's all kinds of other things that we have together in the Connected Bible Community. We have quarterly celebrations. Every month as part of our magazine, we have very specific coaching questions that allow us to dig into topics deeper. All of these things combine, along with the accountability of every week showing up, asking, how is it going? What are you doing? Praying for each other. All of that community comes together to create this fruit of consistency. And that is what we need in our walk, right? To be able to stay consistent, to stay focused. And that's the gift we can give you. So if, as you're hearing this message, we are not open at the time, you can always apply for the waitlist for the Connected Bible Community. And there are other studies on the site that for those who are coming to the Connected Bible Community, because it's only open at certain times of the year, the enrollment at least, you can go through these other studies which use some of the past materials. They've been modified slightly because it's not live, but they use like the magazine from a previous month. And these are great resources because not only do you get this time with the Lord and you're learning in powerful ways, but you're also learning the spiritual growth rhythm and you're beginning to make that part of your life so that you can hear God's voice. So again, I'm going to link to all of that in the show notes. Thank you so much, friend. And I love that you are desiring to hear God's voice because again, that means that you want to follow God and I want to follow God. And we're never going to follow him perfectly because we are imperfect beings, but praise God that we have the Holy Spirit, that we have the Word of God to guide us. We have that. I mean, this is something that the people of the Old Testament didn't have. They didn't have a whole Bible in front of them and the Holy Spirit to guide us. What a blessing and what a gift we have. So I encourage you to lean onto those two main ways to hear from the Lord. I hope you have a great week, and you can always connect with me about this message or about any other podcast or anything else you have going on in your life at Instagram. That's kind of my main dance floor to show up on. So you can go to Instagram and find me at Vibrant Christian Living, and I would love to hear from you. And also, if this episode has touched you and you feel like, oh my gosh, I so want to let Alicia know about this, or I want somebody else to find it, will you leave a comment on iTunes or Stitcher, however you're listening to this podcast, so that others can find it? Would sure appreciate it. I love all of those. They encourage me to keep going and keep sharing these words with you guys every week. So I hope you have an amazing week. I will see you back here next week. Thanks, friend. Bye.